Good afternoon. This is Mike Vandervoort. It's Friday, June 12th, and we're having a takeover today. The show is Drive Through HR. I'm hosting, but it's actually going to be a live call-in show for the HR Puckheads community. And we got a couple of those Puckheads on the line right now, both from Illinois. Dave Ryan and John Jorgensen, welcome to Drive Through HR and the Power Play HR Puckhead Takeover Edition. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing just fine. So like, Dave, I know John's a dyed-in-the-wool Blackhawks fan, and I'm pretty well dyed-in-the-wool right now for Tampa Bay Lightning. I think you're a Hawks fan, right, Dave?
I've transitioned from the Blues to the Hawks, yes. The Blues got their ass handed to them in the first round there.
That bandwagon jumping?
Yeah, call it what you will, yeah. But I'm a Fairweather fan.
So let's throw it over to John, because John has been probably the most with a drumstick there. John, talk about the Hawks and what's going on so far, and just why you love hockey so much.
Why do I love hockey?
Yeah.
It all started when I moved to the Chicago area way back when, and the Hawks had the team of Makita and Hull and Dennis Hull and, that whole crew, and I just never seen anything like it before. I was like 5 years old or something. God, I just dated myself. But it fascinated me. And grew up watching it. When we got to high school and we all got our driver's license, a bunch of friends and I would go up probably once or twice a month to the old Chicago Stadium and get standing room tickets. And back in those days, if somebody wasn't in their seat by the second period, you just took it and nobody hassled you.
Right.
There was a brief time I moved when I lived in Iowa. I wasn't quite as following it as well as I should have been, because I don't think they know what hockey is out there, though now they do have two semi-pro teams in the state. But when I moved back to town here years ago, I just fell back in love with it. It's just the most exciting sport to watch. I was able to go to some, and once you go to a game, as the hockey expert Doc Emmerich said, once you go to a game, you're hooked.
Yeah. John, I'll come back to you. I see a 727. Is it Jay Coons?
That is Jay Coons.
Coons, welcome to the Puckhead Takeover of Drive Through. We got our Illinois contingent with Dave Ryan and Jorgensen, and then I'm not Florida anymore, and kind of neither are you, but we're both Lightning fans, so we've got Lightnings and the Hawks on the line right now. So it's even up. That's perfect. John
awesome
was just
and
go ahead.
Yeah, far away.
I was going to say John was just telling us why he loves hockey so much. We're going to talk a little hockey. We're going to talk a little HR forever, however long you guys can hang. I was just going to talk to Dave Ryan, because Dave is a bandwagon jumping Hawks fan, but he's also a referee. Dave, did you play?
Yeah, I played as a young child, but I got out of it when I was about 11 years old. And then what really got me, piqued my interest is when I had kids and they started playing youth hockey. And so that really got me way back into it. And I've kind of been hooked again since then.
Yeah. So you referee like a lot during the winter, right?
Yeah, I do. I do youth hockey games. I do high school games. I've done a few collegiate, but when I have the opportunity to do, and it's like D3 stuff, I did two last year. It's the call about 50 minutes before game time that somebody was in a car accident down the road, and I'm the 42nd selection, and been asked to fill in for somebody. And usually when I get out there, the first thing that's going through my mind is, what in the hell have I got myself into? Because when they skate like Jay's son, they just skate circles around this old man.
Yeah, no doubt. When I watch the games now, like in this current series in the finals, I played for 11 years, and I'm 57, so there's no way I'd be doing what they're doing now, but it just is astonishing to me at what great athletes these guys are. I'll come back around, Dave. We got another caller on the line, 320, who joined us?
This would be the great Minnesotan, Josh Rock.
Ah, Josh Rock. We got Jay Coons who jumped in. I'll come back around to you, Josh, but welcome to the call. We'll fit you in here in just a minute. Jay, you are a massive Tampa Bay Lightning fan. You got a son who's headed to the NHL, I believe. And you had some cool experiences, I think, at your former employer with Le Cavalier. So you've had a lot of affiliations with hockey, right?
Yeah, I've had a bunch. My son played for the Tampa Bay Lightning's AAA program when he was a freshman in high school. And we were in the organization that I used to work for in the Tampa Bay area was the recipient of Vinny LeCavalier's foundation support. Vinny donated about $3 million to build a pediatric cancer center in the hospital I worked at. So I had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with Vinny and his wife and talk about youth hockey and spend time with him at some of his events at the arena where the Lightning play. And he's just a world-class guy. He would come to the hospital and he would say, I've got an hour or I've got an hour and a half, but I wanted to see the kids. And we'd go up to the unit and it's named for him and there's pictures of them all over the walls. And he would stay 4 hours or 5 hours if the kids still wanted to talk to him. He would put on all the personal protective equipment and gown up completely, go into a room, stay as long as the child wanted. And then he would come back out, take all the gear off, put all the new gear on because of infection control reasons, and go in and visit the next child. He would just stay for hours and hours and hours. And so he was just a tremendous role model. One more quick little thing about Vinny. He would make connections with the families and the patients, and then sometimes he would have us all over to his suite at the arena where the Lightning play. And after the game, he would have us all come downstairs, and he would come out. I remember after one of the games, he'd gotten hit during the game, so he had to get stitched up over his eye. And as soon as the game was over, he took a quick shower. He's in his shorts, and he came out to make sure he could hug the little boy who he had seen in the hospital that day and spend time with he and his family and played some mini hockey underneath the stadium where they have a little mini hockey rink set up for the kids. And just a whole different side of him as a captain of an NHL team. He's obviously very affluent and just really had his priorities straight. It was a great, great opportunity to get to know him.
I think that I've known a bunch of hockey players going all the way back to when I was a kid. I had a chance that I still look back on and can't believe it happened. I was on TV with Gordie Howe in the Detroit area on a local, morning show. I was on TV with my hockey team along with Gordie Howe and Mark and Marty Howe, right? So I was standing with at least one Hall of Famer, and I'm not sure if Mark made it or not, but three NHL players, and it's still one of the greatest, moments of my young life, my youth, and I remember it. But they were so genuine, and I think that's true about all hockey players. I'm sure there's a few a-holes in the mix. But generally, out of all the pro athletes that you get a chance to meet, I think hockey players are the most down-to-earth bunch I've ever encountered. Would you agree, Jay?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I had a chance because of the Lightning being so involved with my former hospital that I went to a number of fundraising events that Vinny held and that the Lightning held. And so I had a chance to visit with a lot of the players, and they were all super humble. And a bunch of them had come from other teams, as many pro athletes do. They move around from team to team, and they were just so approachable and thankful for the opportunity to not only give back, but to just even be able to play at that level. It was really quite refreshing.
Yeah. So it's weird to have so many people on the call, so sorry if you guys are feeling left out, but jump in. Josh, hey, welcome from Minnesota. Is it summer there yet?
No, we're still waiting for all the neighborhood hockey rinks to thaw. we're still getting some hockey in up here, even though our Wild's done.
Yeah. So you're a huge Wild fan. I remember the North Stars, which I'll date myself along with John Jorgensen. I guess the Wild had a pretty good season this year. Amazing pickup on a goalie that came out of nowhere and looked real good for a while, and then I guess fell out like a lot of teams do. But hockey's big up there, right, in Minnesota? I guess we lost Josh. So anyway,
the answer to your question is yes.
Yes, it's huge. It's so big it knocked him right off the line. So, wow. What fascinates me about and why I wanted to do the Puckhead show is there's people all over the country, and it's not hundreds, but it's a few dozen people that are in a Facebook group and kind of created an informal hashtag, and we've built a little community within our HR community around hockey. Josh, is that you that came back on the line, or is that someone else?
No, that's me. My cell phone dropped out, so I'm back here.
Dave answered that. Yes, the hockey's huge in Minnesota. That was a question I asked when you fell off. Your number is showing up as all ones now, so I couldn't tell if it was you. Welcome back.
Yeah, no, I dialed on the hospital line. So we definitely, it's the state of hockey for a reason up here. We live, eat, breathe, sleep hockey from sun up to sundown.
Yeah, no doubt. What I was just saying is that the Puckheads, kind of an informal a group on Facebook and kind of a hashtag, and yet a lot of people with a lot of different backgrounds in HR come together throughout the season, I think, and really have a lot of fun following hockey. And I've gotten to know, and there, like John, there are some folks in that aren't on the line in Illinois, Amy Dillman and some others, and I think Josh, there's some folk, maybe some other folks in Minneapolis. But it's a blast. We have a fantasy hockey league for some people, and we get the trash talk all through the year. And it's just, I think it's another way of bringing the personal side of people's interests into the social media community and really into real life. So I guess I just was kind of wondering, what you guys get at beyond trash talk. What do you guys get out of the Puckhead community, and is there value in it beyond just talking hockey? So, Dave, I know you're on the line. You were first. So can you throw us your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting to see. Everybody's got their favorite team, and the stuff that gets posted up there is a lot of stuff that I probably might not have seen otherwise, because I don't follow a lot of the East Coast teams that closely. And to see how people are posting up what's going on and, some of the just truly amazing plays that happen day in and day out in the league that otherwise go unnoticed, to get a chance to see those, because people are really very quick to share those when it's their team that does something just fabulous. It's kind of cool to see all those put together in one place.
Yeah. John?
Yo.
What do you get out of the Puck community, if anything?
One of the coolest things about the Puckhead community is I woke up one Saturday morning about a year and a half ago, and all of a sudden saw Jay Coons hashtagging HR Puckheads that he was at a nearby hockey rink with his son at a camp. And so I just kind of dropped everything I was doing, headed over there, and just said, "You must be Jay Coons." So it was kind of cool just to go over and hang out with him, watch his son play. Good hockey player, by the way, which I think we all know. But, Jay, I'm kind of disappointed that you haven't come over to the Blackhawks, considering another alumni of your son's high school is kind of the best captain in the league.
He is a very good captain, and it was fun having you come over for that event in Chicago, John. That was awesome. And I'll tell you, my son is such a Patrick Kane fan that during this past season, his team was in a tournament in Minnesota, and they ended up, my son scored the game-winning goal in the championship game in overtime, and he immediately did a Patrick Kane heartbreaker move to celebrate. the winning the tournament. So the Blackhawks are alive and well in the Coons family.
Celebrated, if not rooted for in the finals, huh? So
yeah,
Jay, I know
for the Bolts in the finals.
Yeah, the Bolts have actually both teams. This has been one of the best playoff finals I can remember in a long time. Maybe it's just because I'm more focused. Have been great.
Well, in each game, each game you see is going down to the wire every night. I mean, last two, 3 minutes, it's crazy. The amount of action.
I know, and as good and as experienced and deep as the Blackhawks are, you know, and have some really fantastic players, Taze, Kane, Duncan, Keith. My God, I played defense, and it would take five of me to equal him, and plus he's playing 30-plus minutes a game. The guys just, and Seabrook, I mean, they're a force, and yet Tampa Bay, you know, kind of the upstart team, has kind of played even with them and even had some goalie issues still going on today. Ben Bishop wasn't on the ice for the practice today, but there's still speculation he might play tomorrow. I've had a blast watching it. I saw Doug Shaw from England, who's not on the line, last week at summer camp, and we talked about the Rangers and how much I enjoyed watching the Rangers and the Lightning play, and he followed each of those games even across the pond into England. So the HR Puckheads community is global, at least plus one, right? And I just it's so cool to be able to talk a sport that I love with people all across the country, and it's been this playoffs has really been a blast. So Jay, hockey is like when I met you, you know, and started, you know, seeing what you were doing with your son, it seems like hockey is like the dominant force in your life. I know you have other interests like career and working out, but tell us about how you got into hockey and your son especially.
Yeah, so when I relocated to Florida, my son was four, and because the weather's nice all the time and rollerblading is so popular, he started rollerblading, and having an NHL team in town was great, so he started going to NHL games, and he eventually got into roller hockey, and he worked real hard and got onto a pretty high-level roller team. And we traveled all over the country with that team, from Denver to all throughout the Northeast, Midwest. I mean, we went everywhere and were very successful. And we ended up taking the whole roller program to the ice. And so that became, 1 year he played 70 ice games and about 125 roller games.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was a pretty aggressive schedule. And then he really, he phased out the roller and focused pretty exclusively on the ice program and ended up going up to Minnesota for the last 3 years to play ice hockey.
Yeah, and he went to Shattuck, right, which is a huge hockey school. But he went when he was like 15, right? Moved out of Florida up to Minnesota when he was like 15 years old.
Yeah, his freshman year in high school, his high school won the state hockey championship. And then he left and went to Minnesota as a 15-year-old, yep.
Jay's being modest here, too. That's the probably the number one high school prep school in the country that his son's at. So,
yeah.
It's very good.
But, I mean, I guess, you know, not only the schedule – and the will and determination, but also to like leave home and your friends, go to something. I mean, it would be an amazing experience, but I would have to imagine it was, you know, like traumatic, not traumatic, but family challenge, right? Your son's leaving, he's going halfway across the country, leaving mom and dad and all that kind of stuff, right? That's like a huge life step at a pretty young age.
Yeah, that was a very, very big deal. A week before we took him to Shattuck, his sister moved to start her freshman year in undergraduate school. So it was two really big moves in a week. But
wow.
Both turned out to be very good ones.
And you guys traveled up to Minnesota a lot to watch him play, so it wasn't like he just moved away and you never saw him again or anything, but big part of your life, I guess. So, Josh, I want to you in a second, but somebody just came on from 612. Who joined the call?
That would be Tiffany.
Tiffany, welcome.
Oh, no, she's coming to talk baseball. No, no baseball talk.
There's no hockey in June. Come on.
Josh says the rinks are still frozen.
Jorgensen with the jab.
They're hockey in Minnesota. Shattuck for sure, right? So welcome, Tiffany. I was just about to throw Josh a question. Josh, a few years back, Dovetail and Dwayne, who said he would be here but isn't so far, we did the first fundraiser for No Kid Hungry in Atlanta.
Yep.
I think that was 2012 or 13. And you were
yep.
kind of middle of that, 2012. And several of us played in a really stupid event. It was a great event, actually, but we were really stupid to play the way we did, which is we played street hockey, right? And we raised
yeah.
a bunch of money. But you were a goalie, and Dave and I were running around. Dave is a little more fit than I am, but we were running around, and we played street hockey in Centennial Park in Atlanta when the weather was about 95, and it was in June or whatever. So we played for 1 hour.
A bunch of old white guys playing hockey. A bunch of old white guys playing hockey in downtown Atlanta in 98 degrees and 98% humidity. It was nuts.
It was nuts. And we actually drew quite a crowd to watch us be idiots, right? But,
yep.
but it was a blast. We had a lot of other people from Sherm come join us. Curtis Midkiff, who you know formerly was the social media guy for Sherm, helped sponsor. We had there were hockey goalie sticks that were signed and raffled off, and I don't know what we raised, but it was like over $1,000, right?
Yeah, it was a couple thousand dollars. I think we were in like the $4,000 to $5,000 total for the whole event after the hockey stick donations and then the kind donations from Dovetail and some other individuals. So did pretty well, and that actually springboard into all of the No Kid Hungry events we've had since, whether it was the kickball event we had in Chicago in Dave and John's neck of the woods to, you know, going down this year to Vegas. I mean, we did a bowling event in Orlando last year, and we're doing an event. We're still working out the details for Vegas, but, yep, it you know, that's where it all started. Dwayne and I put our heads together on doing an event, and we got Sherm involved and Dovetail to sponsor, and it's gone gangbusters since.
And it wasn't truly an HR Puckhead event. But it was kind of driven,
no.
I think. First idea was let's play street hockey, and it's turned into an annual event. And I guess the point that you're making and that I was trying to get to is there's more to this kind of community, whether it's talking hockey or whatever. We actually do some things and make a difference at least once a year through our professional organization. And, of course, other people participate, and it's not always hockey. But I think that's John talked about meeting Jay in person, and we have these kind of community fundraisers. Lots of stuff happens through these informal events that come, or these informal communities that come online. And Tiffany, so welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in. You're the only female that's dared enter the realm so far, so kudos on your bravery. But I don't know, are you in the HR Puckheads community, or... Because I don't know everybody that's listed on Facebook. Are you one of the regulars there?
I was invited, but I left the group because I know very little about hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not interested in it, so
okay.
I didn't think I would be able to contribute.
Okay.
Once we get August, her son, converted to hockey, she'll be involved. Once we get August converted, she's in.
No, it conflicts with baseball practice.
Oh, sorry.
So big Twins fan, though, right?
Absolutely.
You can only play baseball in July up there.
That's the one thing we can do.
But they have an indoor baseball park, right? Or is that the new stadium
outdoor.
Not?
No. It's all outdoor all the time.
Okay, so I know they built the new one, and I haven't been there yet. I had a chance to go to a game, Twins game at Metropolitan Stadium or something like that years ago.
That's,
anyway,
yeah,
so
that's
you actually
two stadiums ago.
I know it was a while back. I haven't been to Minnesota in 10 years except passing through the airport. So, I stay away. The hockey's too good and the weather's too damn cold. I mean, the hockey's too bad and the weather's too damn cold. So.
Anyway. Come on up to Target Field. You'd love it.
We I know. It. Actually, my old company that I left in 2004 had their 100th, I forget, it was their 100th centennial anniversary party there. And they rented out all of Target Field to put on a concert. That was Anderson Windows. And I was supposed to go, and then I had to pull out, but I heard it was one of the craziest, you know, like corporate events you could ever see. A lot of alumni came, and they had some pretty famous band play, but it's a few years ago, and I don't remember who it was. So it has a little to do with hockey. So let's flip to the current series, and also, John, I know this is something you were really, really fired up about. The Tampa Bay policy on not allowing tickets and or uniforms into the stadium. So, John, what's your thoughts on that?
I think it sucks.
I don't know, Jay, if you can explain it a little better than I can, but my understanding of the policy is it's twofold. One is that the Lightning chose to restrict sales of tickets throughout the playoff series to only those people who had a mailing address in the state of Florida, because they wanted to ensure that the playoff tickets went to Lightning fan base and were not bought by out-of-staters coming in to watch the series, which is something that happens like a lot in Florida. Many other fan bases. There's so many people that aren't from Florida that live in Florida that if a Red Wings play there, you know, the rink becomes a sea of red. I went to a Blackhawks game and tried to get tickets earlier this year when they were playing at Tampa Bay on a Friday night. The cheapest scalp ticket I could find was over $100, and they were singles. So that it's very common to have that rink overrun by the visiting team. So that was one policy. The other one was they said, I think throughout the rink, or at least in certain parts of the rink, no wearing visiting team gear, so no Hawks gear in the Tampa Bay arena, it's Amalie Arena. And, John, I know you thought it sucks, but there's some valid reasons. Jay, would you agree that that's what the policy was? I don't know if you had anything to add there.
Yeah, I love the policy, to be honest with you. There are so many folks from Florida, such a transient state that there's folks from all over north of the border, as well as a bunch of, at least in the Tampa Bay area, a lot of Midwestern cities. It's funny how with all the contemporary and modern travel, it's still the Midwest populates the west coast of Florida and the Northeast populates the east coast of Florida in such a predominant way. But it's so the goal is to protect seats for the local fans, and candidly, the fan base in Tampa is unbelievably positive about the team. The energy in the community is sky high, and it's really generated from the ownership change a few years ago. A very humble guy, although a very rich guy, named Jeffrey Vinnick bought the team, and one of the things that he's committed to is taking care of the local community. And so during every home game, he gives a local what he calls community hero, which is somebody who does volunteer work or charitable work in the community. So every home game, there's 41 home games a year, he gives them a $50,000 check because of the good work they're doing for the people of the greater Tampa Bay area. And so he's totally committed to supporting the community, being a leader in the community, and wanting to put a good product on the ice as a second priority. Now, his first year that he owned the team, the Lightning went to the Eastern Conference Finals, but since then we've struggled until the last couple of years. So it's
Jay,
there's a lot of bad press about that, but he's a world-class guy, what he does for the community.
John,
Jay,
go ahead.
To be honest, if it had been explained a little bit better like that on what some of his philosophies was and everything like that, it might have gone over a little bit better, but the only thing we heard up here is we don't want Blackhawks here at all.
Right. And it's part of that fun of the hype of it all, but the real story is the guy's he's a super classy guy, and he actually lived up in the Northeast in the Boston area, but when he bought the team, he literally moved his whole business down and his family down, and he wanted to be a part of the community. He didn't want to be an absentee owner that just kind of managed from afar. And so he went out, and the president of the club is the guy who used to be the president of the Seahawks, because he had done such a good job with their community engagement up there, as you can tell from that whole 12th man thing where they're all crazy fans up there. And, of course, the GM is Stevie Eiserman. So, you know, he went after quality guys, pumped $30 million of his own money into renovating the arena for the fans. And then there's his whole community hero thing.
I think he went after, like, the best talent, you know, for building an organization that he could find. I mean, Eiserman was unproven, but was one of the best captains ever in the NHL as a player and a team leader, changed his whole style of play. And Todd is it Todd Late? Is that, or am I thinking the Bucks? Todd.
It's Todd Lewicki.
Yeah.
Ran
from the Minnesota Wild, actually.
Yeah, and you know, has been around the league. And I think at one, when he was in Seattle, he ran not just one pro team, but two. I mean, and so they brought. I mean, so it's. I mean, that was, you know, like uber talent selection, which obviously, you know, when you talk HR in sports, it's always different for the teams. But he brought in the best leaders he could find, and as you said, he moved to the community and made a full-on commitment to build the best organization he could build, and it shows, you know, both on the ice and in the
I think Tampa Bay's done a tremendous job in building the program down there, and you know, I do admire what they've done as far as building the team and everything like that. I mean, it's a little bit like the Blackhawks here. When old man passed away a couple years ago, his son took over and brought in a baseball guy to be, you know, president of the organization, and brought in the Bowman's from Detroit to help build the team, and you know, period over 6 years, look what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's where what I'm trying to, since this is ostensibly an HR show, I think, you know, you're talking about sports teams, but you're talking about an owner, you know, so leadership from the top who comes in and pick, whether it's the Blackhawks or the Lightning or any of the other really successful teams, you know, my other team, the Red Wings, right, 24 consecutive playoff appearances after many years of suckage, because they devoted themselves to recruiting talent, not only in the team and in the players, but in leadership, and they're full-on involved in the community with Mike Ilitch, who owns Little Caesars. So, you know, ownership, leadership, the direction from the top, it's kind of what I'm trying to get to. But the other part of it, Jay, the other part of the story at Tampa is Vinick is also developing, making a huge impact in the community by investing funds in downtown Tampa, and over the next couple of years is going to truly transform the city of Tampa from kind of a sleepy downtown into what appears to be a very dynamic waterfront area. He claims one of the greatest investment opportunities in the U.S.
Yeah, he has a good business mind, and he has also some ethics baked in there. I had an opportunity a number of months ago to be at a economic development dinner, and I sat next to the mayor of Tampa, and I asked him what it was like to work with Jeff Vinick, and he said it's unbelievable. He said it's like a blessing, because not only does the guy want to invest, and obviously he wants to be successful, he wants his investments to be successful, but he said he wants to do it in a way that makes sense so that the city can win, the community can win, and he can invest his money in a way that he can make a profit. So he's looking at these all three of these tracks from a community business leader and a very high profile one, particularly with the team winning. You're always more high profile when the team's winning a lot of games, or I guess if they're losing a lot of games, if they're kind of average, you get lost in the shuffle. But so that was an interesting opportunity to talk to him about it. But yeah, great vision, and obviously it's right on Tampa Bay. There's water everywhere, and he's trying to, literally on Tampa Bay, and he's trying to make it much more of a destination part of the city.
Hey, Mike.
Very cool. Yeah, yeah.
This is John. I've got a split. I hate to miss this last half. I have to go actually take the SHRM SCP exam as
John,
an instructor that all to take it. So I'd much rather
thanks for
talk
coming
about
on. Before you go, one quick question.
Here
prediction for this, how many games and who's going to win? I know your answer. Who's going to win?
Blackhawks in six.
Blackhawks in six. Cool.
Ooh. They're taking the last two at home. That's a bold choice there, Jorgensen.
I'm saying Lightning in seven. So not I'm opposite side of the fence. Dave Ryan, what's your prediction?
Blackhawks in seven.
Blackhawks in Jay.
Well, I'm definitely going with the Bolts, and I'm going to be traveling with my son for a hockey tryout Sunday through Wednesday. So if they go to game seven, I need to stay an extra night in Wisconsin. So I hope the Lightning do it in six. So I can,
Lightning
so I don't have to stay an extra night in Wisconsin.
But otherwise, yeah, Wisconsin's a pretty nice state. I mean, it's not as nice as Minnesota, but they have more cheese and more beer, I think.
It gives us all reasons to go to Green Bay, right, Jay?
That's right. That's
on that note.
All right, John, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. It was great. Thank you.
Good luck, John.
On your test.
Thanks.
So one more prediction here.
Yep, Josh.
I'm going to take the Bolts in seven. They'll take the game at home on Saturday. They'll go back to Chicago and then win there, and then finish it up on game seven, win it out, and be done. You can't turn on a game now and not hear Doc Emrick talk about Jay or Justin Brown.
Yep.
JT Brown, excuse me. JT and Jason Garrison, both UMD Bulldogs alum or UMD guys like myself. That's the reason why I'm rooting for the Bolts. But you see him buzzing around like you do see Duncan Keith on Chicago. And I think if they can keep that going, Chicago is going to have a tough time here the last three games.
Well, look, I raved about the Hawks because they played great, but my God, you know, JT Brown's like third, fourth line guy. He's not a
nope.
top six player. Garrison,
nope.
Anton Strahman, Hedman has been maybe the best of all the defensemen throughout most of the
mm-hmm.
playoffs. I mean, and Tampa Bay, you know, is having some struggles with injuries with their goaltenders, and that kid Vasilevsky, 20. Played awesome, even though they lost the other night. He played awesome. So the depth of both these teams has just been amazing to me. Tiffany, I didn't ask your prediction. Is it going to be the Twins in seven or somebody else?
I'm sorry, I fell asleep. What happened?
We were asking who's going to win this series and in how many games. What, Blackhawks?
The series isn't until October.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, who's going to win
nice,
the World
nice.
Twins?
Yeah, I while they're doing really well, I doubt they'll make it deep into any postseason play.
Yep, I know. And the New York Yankees are in first place in the what is now the increasingly bad American League East. But this isn't a baseball show. We'll have to do one of those later on in the year. And I'd be happy to have you back to talk baseball like crazy, Tiffany. We got a bunch of eye rolls. Ray Ann and several other people were like, "Oh my God, Drive Thru's doing a hockey show," and I was like, "You know, it's a show. So maybe we should do seasonal sports: football, baseball, hockey." And I don't really follow basketball, so I don't know. Anyway, Dave.
Just as long as we don't cover FIFA, we're fine.
If they pay us. I'm in.
I'll take a bribe and payout, but
right now, lots of money.
Pumpkin pushers.
Yeah.
Did I just hear Dave bring up pumpkin pushers? Really?
I think I thought I saw some on TV the other night. I don't know.
Oh, pumpkin. Brutal.
Pumpkin pushers.
Flipping through.
Premier League. Okay, so soccer. All those other sports don't really count on this show today. So we're down. We got like 20 minutes left, and I'm not sure. Like, I didn't have a boatload of real fancy questions, and I can end the episode whenever. But, like, what else is from the HR Buckhead community? What else should we talk about on? I mean, everybody can get it to Raz, Jay, and I if you're a Blackhawks fan, or we can talk some other serious HR topics if anybody has something. So I'll throw
well, I've got an HR Puckhead question for Jay.
Go ahead.
J, Jay, so you mentioned going to Wisconsin. Tell me about this. Tell us about this tryout for our buddy Jeff Koons with the Gamblers. Is that where he's going, or is he going league and a couple tryouts? What's the story here?
Well, I don't want to jinx him, so I'm not going to disclose that level of detail. But he's so he's graduated from Shattuck, which was a very proud moment. And so now we're looking at some junior teams. He'll be doing a series of tryouts this summer. It's pretty exciting and fun, and he's anxious to be playing at that level. So it'll be because a lot of teams do camps in different cities and things, their tryout camps. So it'll be a fun month or so, month and a half, as we go through that process. And hockey is a 12-month sport in my house, so it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know, when I started playing hockey, Jay, I was, 12 or 13 years old, and I had played on the pond in, you know, the ice rink, outdoor ice rink in Michigan. And then in junior high school, I found out that there were actually indoor leagues, and some friends of mine were playing. And I went home and told my dad I wanted to try out for a real hockey team. And he looked at me and said, "Why don't you play a normal sport like football?" And I want to play hockey, right? And if you fast forward through life until today, my brother played ice hockey from the time he was 4, and he still plays now in an over 40 league. My dad wound up coaching hockey for about 20 years, including the coach of the year for the Southern Amateur Hockey Association, like my, you know, Pee Wee League. Played in a Silver Stick tournament up in Canada, Sarnia, Ontario. And my parents live in Florida now, and they're watching every game of the Lightning. And my mom's texting me back and forth about how much she loves hockey. So hockey, once it gets in your blood, as you said, Josh, once it gets in your blood, it stays with you for your whole life, I believe. I mean, it's part of my family. Every member of my family had some exposure to hockey because I started playing a non-normal sport when I was 12.
Yeah, no, my little guy, I mean, my Cullen, he's 6. What was it, about a year ago, Jay, we brought him down and brought him to one of Jeff's games. And, you know, he was in awe of the game, of watching the big guys, you know, Jeff's team play. And, you know, while you and I were shooting the bowl with Jeff catching up, he sat there and talked to Marty Berger's kid, Jeremy. And, you know, he still talks about it to this day. You know, and when you're that young and you start at the 4, 5, 6 age group and you get that experience, it's in you forever from then on out. You know, I started coaching, you know, his league, Mini Mite team. This will be my third year coaching coming up this fall. And it's a blast. I mean, you know, Dave's reffing games, you know, you've gone through it. You know, Jay, you know, even though Jay was a big basketball guy growing up, he's now eat, sleep, breathing hockey. It's one of those sports where, you know, it's completely unnatural movement compared to anything else. You're not running up and down a court. You're not jumping. You're not catching, you know, you're moving side to side. It's the weirdest sport. But once you get in it, it gets in your blood. It's part of you. It's definitely an amazing sport to be part of. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know, I have two boys that have grown up, and they're 24 and 27. And one lives in Chicago and one lives in Memphis. And they both now are playing, and they've been playing in men's leagues. You know, we affectionately call it beer leagues. And I think that it's just a ruse, but they're still playing and they still love it. So, you know, I think Josh is dead on there that they'll probably play hockey till they die.
Yep.
I got to get some skates. I'm getting anxious to get back out on the ice. Only I live like 4 hours from the closest ice rink. So I know, so like there's some superstitions, especially in the playoffs, and then there's the tradition of the cup, which I think is maybe the most, and the handshakes after every game. I guess if there's, you know, so I know Josh and Jay, you guys were watching the captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning during the playoffs, and I saw you commenting on it on Twitter or Facebook about not touching the trophy after they won the Eastern Conference. You guys want to talk a little bit about superstitions in hockey and in other places?
Well, I know the obvious one is, you know, when you win a conference championship, either whether it's the East or West, that's not the trophy you play for. And, you know, so the longstanding tradition is to not to touch it because that's not the one you want. The one you want is the ultimate prize, which is the Stanley Cup. I mean, it, what is it, 33 and a half or 35 pounds? I've been able to, you know, I know I was never going to win it. I've been able to touch it from a couple times. I've actually been able to drink from the Stanley Cup twice with guys that I know that have won it. You know, one of them being Brett Hull from UMD. And it's a great story. He came into my restaurant and asked for stuff to drink, and I had a couple bottles of wine in the back that were waiting to be picked up, and he paid for them, and I uncorked it, poured it in the top of the Stanley Cup. He said, it's your place. You drink first. And so being able to lift this awkward chalice and lift it up and drink from it was an obvious, you know, huge, you know, experience to have. But, you know, as players, that's not what they want. They don't want to touch the conference title trophy. The only one they want to lift once they've done it is the Stanley Cup. And you don't touch it until that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's like performance appraisal or whatever, like performance, right? You don't celebrate the conclusion of an interim stage of a project. You celebrate when you've got the win. And I think that so the other one I mentioned was, you know, the playoff series, like many sports, is a 7-game series, right? All through the, and there's like 4 levels that you have to play to get into the Stanley Cup Finals, and playoff hockey. My wife has been watching most of the games with me, and she just keeps going, look at those guys. They're bloody. They're the teeth knocked out. I mean, it's some of them. It's very, very physical, right? And yet at the end of every series, the teams line up and shake hands and hug each other in a very sincere way. And I think that's one of the greatest, you know, just traditions of sport. And that's another indicator of how hockey, I think, differs from football, baseball. Not that those guys don't celebrate and offer respect in their own way, but hockey has these kind of standing traditions. And the greatest one is the one you mentioned, Josh, which is each player and each coach gets a day with the Stanley Cup. They win. They literally win the trophy and get to take it home and do with it what they want, I guess, within boundaries. But they can show it off, take it to their house, put it on display, bring it to the restaurant, right? I mean, no other sport does something like that I'm aware of.
Well, you know, to go along with the stories of it, when you get it for the day, back in 98 when Brett won it with Dallas, Jamie Langenberg, obviously, well, you know, won it as well, along with Derek Plant, both of them from the Duluth area. You know, Jamie from Hermantown and Cloquet, and same thing with Derek. Well, I went out to Jamie Langenberger's place out on the lake, and I get there, and what do I see is a jet ski tootling around the lake with the Stanley Cup with a life jacket on it. I mean, do you see that with the Vince Lombardi Trophy? No. Do you see that with the World Series Trophy? No. You know, it's a extra large life jacket and the Stanley Cup strapped down to the back of a jet ski. I mean, you get to do unbelievable. There's actually a book out of stories based on what players have done with the Stanley Cup on their day with it. From, you know, I think Marty Brodeur had Cheerios with Jeremy and Anthony and William. You know, I've seen one where they made a Jell-O mold out of it. You know, there's pictures of people washing their kids in it. Granted, you know, Mike Bolt and Phil Pritchard and, you know, some of the other guys that are keepers of the cup, that's an amazing job to have to keep doing those different things with it. You know, the only thing is that they, you know, can't, you know, do anything damaging to it. It's had its dings, but, you know, it's amazing to read those stories of what those guys do, you know, in their one day with it.
So, and to your point, there's a staff of tenders for the Stanley Cup. They carry it around. They travel with it. It gets its own seat on a plane. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like, yep, the Stanley Cup comes to life. So there's a great interview question for the listeners, if anybody beyond us actually listens to the show, is what would you do if you had the Stanley Cup for one day? What would you do? I'm sure you could figure out something about that person's tendencies and proclivities with their imagined experience. Jay, if Jeff ever gets to the NHL, if that's his ultimate goal, and wins the Stanley Cup, what do you think he would do with it?
He better bring it right to me is what he better do.
to Jay's house, ASAP, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, I think he, like the other guys, if he was ever so blessed, would share with his friends and family and community. And there's so much support that goes into players getting to any level that's serious, let alone the ultimate level, that
that's to one of the earlier points. Those players are always so thankful, and you know, it's not like other sports where you can run down to the park and practice basketball or baseball or football. You have to have skates. You have to get to a rink. You have to have ice time. It's a much, much, much harder process to learn to be a good hockey player than it is the other sports, just because of the barriers. And so, yeah, I think he'd be quite grateful, and I would too.
That would be incredible. And hopefully, if that ever comes to pass, you'll invite some of the HR Puckhead community. I have personally not been as lucky as Josh to see the Stanley Cup in person, and it would be it would be very cool, whether it was you or someone else. But I hope Jeff gets to experience that someday. I think it would be great. Dave Ryan, what would you do with the Stanley Cup?
Have a big party. Have all my friends and neighbors and everybody over and share it. It's actually been here at Springfield a couple times when the Blackhawks won. They brought it down to the state capitol before. And a couple of years ago, I was at a Jimmy Buffett concert up on, it's called Easterly, or I think it's Easterly Island, Easterly Island. It used to be Meigs Airport. Jimmy Buffett was playing, and Kane brought it out and came up on stage with Jimmy Buffett for the show. So, but I'd have a big party with it, you know, and share it with as many people as I could.
Cool. And Josh, it sounds like you've had a chance. What if you had it? What would you do with it?
You know, first I obviously have to, you know, do a big deal with my local hockey association. Let the kids and the community, you know, share in, you know, that lore, which is, you know, the ultimate trophy in the sport. You know, and then probably find something to do with you know, obviously, you know, invite as many HR Puckheads up to an event where we could, you know, have a street hockey game ourselves and play for it. You know, but then, you know, have a little bit of time with just my family with it. I mean, you know, whether it be, you know, sitting down, playing Xbox and eating Cheerios out of it, you know, whatever, just to have a little bit of alone time, you know, with such an awesome piece. So probably make a pretty long and lengthy day out of it and get my full 24 hours out of it.
No sleep, right? So maybe we should see if the NHL would co-sponsor a No Kid Hungry event, send the cup sometime, and let us all from afar as part of a No Kid Hungry fundraiser. Tiffany, are you still awake?
I'm sorry, what?
She may be coaching baseball. Yeah, exactly.
I was wondering if Great. You were still awake. What would you do if you could ever be lucky enough to get near the Stanley Cup? Would you, like, go, I don't know what to do with that? Who's Stanley? What would you do with the Stanley?
Well, let's see. We could fill it with some Minnesota microbrew.
Awesome. That's a great
call. Yeah. Lots of things.
Chip golf balls into it from the green. I don't know if they'd allow that. Nervous. There'd be a guy out there.
No, probably not.
No? Okay.
Probably not.
Cool. And we're down to 6 minutes, and I'm running out of – I mean, there's lots of stuff we could go on about, but we've been going for an hour, and I know you guys are hanging, and I really appreciate it because it's been a blast. So let's do one go-round about, you know, just in general hockey and you know, HR Puckheads, if you got any final comments. So, Dave, we're in first, so any final thoughts?
I'm glad that Mike Keenan is no longer a part of the NHL. That would be my thought to share.
Mike Keenan hate on what did Mike Keenan do? It's not his fault. All right. I know I never
he was
really
a great, he was
guy.
A great coach in New Jersey.
He's Mike
great
Keenan,
coach
that's the problem.
Until he breaks and everybody hates him. He's like the ultimate bad guy supervisor. I'm going to drop you in and fix this, and then we'll run you out of town next year because you're such an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
But he does get results per term, you know. But that's not the view for talent, right? Except sometimes when you need a fixer. So that's Mike Keenan. All right, Dave. Well, thanks for bringing Mike Keenan's ugly shadow into the picture here. Jay, final thoughts.
So final thoughts for me are one of the reasons that I like hockey so much is because it's a ultimate team sport. Everybody plays. So even the last guy on the bench is getting a few minutes, typically during a game. not a lot of minutes, but everybody plays, and you have to, you don't stop when you make changes. And that is so unlike all the other sports. And when you think about the pace of work, it's fast, it's challenging, you need everybody involved. So I think that's part of the fun of the HR Puckheads, is that there actually is a link to the world of HR and the world of hockey, because it is fast paced. There is no timeout to make changes in the world of work. You just keep going. And so that's part of the fun for me.
Awesome. Thanks. Josh?
You know, Jay's got it right on the head. And, you know, for me, it's remember, you know, basically the hashtag hockey is life. I mean, you know, for when you're in it, it's not one of those where, you know, like with my daughter in dance, where you go off and do your thing. I mean, hockey families, they support each other, the players and all of that. It's a community. It's not just a sport of individuals. You know, you look at the Jack Jablonski case, you know, a couple years ago where he hit his head, you know, in a game and was paralyzed. And, you know, what happened? Hockey as a whole globally revolved around one kid in Minneapolis. You know, they supported him. They sent jerseys. They had auctions of, you know, to support him, you know, for his medical bills. And they continue to. I mean, Jeremy Roenick is probably one of his closest friends, and they're, you know, 40 years difference in age. You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, it's not just, you know, you're in it and that's it. You know, there's everybody around you that, you know, holds you up when you need it.
Yeah, I agree. Tiffany, you're the closer, the reliever here. What I know you don't have much interest in hockey, but final thoughts?
I tend to agree with what Josh just had to say. I've got a fourth grader, 9-year-old kid, loves sports. I've got, you know, several friends who have kids who play hockey, and it's interesting. Anytime I post a question or a status of anything to do with hockey, a bajillion people respond. It is insane how much people love the sport, love the community, especially here in Minnesota, where, you know, there are so many kids and who play hockey, so many people who have made a living off of, you know, playing hockey, or, you know, have some sort of tie or connection to Minnesota. It's just, it's phenomenal.
Cool.
And Mike,
well,
it shouldn't go unsaid that the Minnesota high school championships are, they get in excess of 100,000 fans that come to watch that tournament every year. High school.
That's like hockey. That's like football crowds in Texas, high school football crowds in Texas. I mean, right. Yeah, I know. And Minnesota, of course, has a lot of, because of the climate, literally, you know, ice fishing and everything. But it's a tremendous state for hockey, and of course they love their Vikings and their Twins and everything else. And I had a chance one time to move to Minnesota, and I picked Florida instead. And I often wonder what my life would look like had I gone north instead of south. But I'm happy to
be
where
I'm fishing,
at.
Mike.
You'd be fishing now, and maybe hoping the golf course was thawed by now. Yeah. So, but I'd get to hang out with you more often, Josh. That would be a plus. And I
exactly. There you go.
I could have gone to see Jay's kid play hockey and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, 90 seconds. We filled the hour. Thanks so much for doing this. I know it's not a traditional show, but I really wanted to do it, and I appreciate you guys all giving an hour of your day to come in and talk hockey. And I'll just say this was a blast, and go Bolts, and all due respect and love to the Blackhawks and the Blackhawk fans on the line and off the line. It's been a great series. And this has been a great chat, and I'm going to roll us out to some Tupac. So you guys all have a great Friday and a good week, and talk hockey again soon. Thanks. Bye.
See you guys. Bye.